Okay, for those who don't know who I am, my name is Donna McCowan, and I happen to be part of the leadership that coordinates and puts together this feast site. My husband is Ron. He's the big guy with the white beard and big belly, looks like Santa Claus. And he gets told that quite frequently. Before we start, I would like to open with prayer. Michael, would you come up here so it's recorded and open us with prayer? Please, sir.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to be with like-minded people to understand and to learn your ways, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for this team that pulled together all these breakout sessions and the learnings that we'll get. Watch over us as we take in these words. Let us come to us as true words from you. In our Savior's name we do pray.
Amen. Amen and amen. Well, are you having a good feast yet? Yeah. Well, if you haven't started, you better get busy because you're going to turn around twice and it's over.
I'm at the table with knife and fork and my mouth is full.
If we weren't recording, I would say something. You know, he called me an old broad this morning.
You're recording, don't forget.
Actually, I didn't say who. Actually, he called me a crusty old broad, is what he called me.
I said you can be.
Oh, yeah. Any time of the day. How many of you blow a fair shofar? What? Don't answer, Gary. I didn't see. Oh, okay. You don't?
No.
No. Okay. Oh, I blow that too. I believe that if you can blow a shofar without a lot of trouble, you were called to do so. Many of us try to do a job that we're not called to do. I'm not a public speaker. I love to talk, but I'm not a public speaker. My husband is called to speak. I'd prefer not. I don't classify this as public speaking because this is about something I'm pretty passionate about. But if you keep trying and trying and trying and you can't, maybe you're not called to blow the shofar. I mean, you just might think of it that way. Because, you know, we're all called to do different jobs. Well, I got a lot of women this year. But when I was in high school and I wanted to learn the baritone, for the first month, I got a baritone mouthpiece. And we got to run around going, you know. So I blew played a baritone, and then I went to tuba. But back in my day, they didn't have fiberglass tubas. They had brass tubas. And, you know, I did that one marching season, and that was plenty for me. I went back to blowing a trumpet during marching season and a French horn concert season. And the French horn mouthpiece is probably as big as some of our shofars and smaller than this one. But the reason they gave you this is because to practice, it doesn't take a lot of air. People think, well, I don't know. I used to smoke and whatever. No. It's all right here. And whether you do it is how you purse your lips. So if you need a low tone, you just kind of go like you used to do as a kid. Your mother said, quit that. You know. You know, you just. And that's going to give you a low tone. But if you tighten up your lips, him with no teeth might help. So this way you are getting, you know, you're getting used to, who played a reed instrument in here in school? Sissy lips, that's just all I got to say. How about a flute? See, more sissy lips. We had a girl here, well, not here, but at Lake Murray several years that I got that from her because she loved to blow the shofar. But she had sissy lips, so she couldn't sustain some of the stuff because she wasn't used to putting them lips together. But before we get into to actual blowing and letting you... Most things with a hole I can blow. And that's all here. But we'll pass, you know, we'll pass this around. But I have some alcohol swipes, so we don't have to swap slobbers or anything. Talking about whether it's a ram's horn or a South African kudu, which is a shofar, there are some scriptures that when it says ram's horn, it means this one, but the word translated trumpet, unless it says silver trumpet, is this. And if you look in the Hebrew, it says teruah. There is some words that are translated shout that is in Hebrew teruah. God's going to come back with a shout. The word there is teruah. So, but these were living creatures that our Father made. We are living creatures that our Father made. And when we let our ruach go through this, this is the voice of God. This should, the sound of this, should touch your soul. Even when I blow it myself, I feel an inner something that I can't describe. So these are, you know, it's not something to play with or have sword fights with or things, you know, or just play taps on or reveille or anything else that y'all are proud of that you can get out of these here. These belong to God. These are used for God. And every shofar that I get a ram's horn, I anoint and dedicate to God. It's used for nothing else. So it's important that we understand that these are the extension of our Creator. And if we don't know the sounds of war or the sounds of assembly, everybody at this feast knows when I blow a tekiah, that means things are fixing to start. And when I blow the 1, 3, 9, and 1, that it's time to start the worship service. So unless, you know, some of you guys were in the service, there was chow call, there was bedtime, there was get up, and especially you want to know what that chow time was because you didn't want to miss it. Are they locking us in or what? I thought you were locking us in here.
To get in.
Oh, well, we didn't want you in. So, do all of you own some type of ram's horn or shofar?
Nope.
Nope? Okay. I don't think that counts, Kenneth. But if that's all you got, that's what you use.
That's what I was trained on.
That, well, see, we got a man here that knows reveille and bedtime and run like heck and that's retreat, isn't it? I think that's the same thing, you know. But you got to think of why you want to blow the shofar. Why do you want to blow the shofar? I can't really read your name. Lydia or whatever.
Lorenda.
Lorenda. Well, I was close, wasn't I?
I don't. I'm here for my son.
Okay.
Who does.
Okay. Why does he want to blow the shofar?
Well, he is a trumpet player. However, he does think that this sounds beautiful.
Well, sure it does, but okay. Sandy, what about you?
I'm here to give the spiritual side of this rather than the physical.
The physical, right. Okay. What about you, David?
I'm going to be one of the watchers.
Hey, well, we can do that without a shofar, but that's okay. What about you, Crystal? What do you want to learn?
The way I picture the end time is a group of shofars blowing, almost like in a contagion to communicate to the communities around.
Yes, because that's...
I'd like to be there to communicate to the people around me that this is it.
Praise Yah.
I love the sound of the shofar. I'd like to become more skilled at it. But I also like the watchman anointing a part of it. And at one point, my son was getting ready to get involved in something that I knew was not of God. And I couldn't talk about it, so I got my shofar and I just lifted up the Lord. I felt it would be call on him and that it would, the heavenlies would be helps.
So, sure. Yeah. I understand. How about you, sir? You just like sheep followed the crowd?
I didn't bring your answer.
Well, we're glad to have you, even if you don't know why you're here. Okay. Now, the sounds that we have of the shofar are passed down by our Jewish brethren, right or wrong. Okay? They were put in charge of all that. Now, whether it's perverted or right or wrong, they'll have to answer for that. But with them being in charge, we are supposed to learn from our Jewish brethren. And when Messiah comes back, he's going to say, why'd you do it that way? Well, because our Jewish brethren taught us to do that. We had no other way of knowing. And so he'll fix it, you know. The tekiah is in Scripture, and that's the to-do. It is in Scripture. The teruah is in Scripture a lot. That's the nine staccato. And the tekiah hagadol is in there, especially in Revelation. Now, the shivarim is the only one that's not scriptural based, and it's handed down by our Jewish brethren as a sound to confound Satan. He don't know what to do with that. See, he knows all the rest of that stuff because he knows Scripture better than we do. But he don't know what to do with shivering.
What does that sound?
To-do, to-do, to-do. That's that three. Not two, three. So again, we have to trust our Jewish brethren. And anything to confound Satan is wonderful. But you got to realize we all are driven by the Ruach HaKodesh. Now, we have certain sounds to blow at certain times. But if you're hearing a song in worship and you are led to do something, do it. Don't squelch the Ruach HaKodesh. Well, he's kind of like God, you know. He's smarter than we are, or it is smarter than whatever the gender.
The spirit is smarter than we
are. We are. There you go. Thank you, Sandy. I knew you were around here for some reason. Oh, no thanks. I'm trying to quit. But this is a spiritual instrument. It touches your soul. And we are commanded to hear the shofar. There is no place in Scripture where it's commanded to blow the shofar. But if you've got a command to do this, somebody's got to do this. I mean, if there's nobody to do this, we're not going to be able to do this commandment. So we are commanded, and happy is he who hears the sound of the shofar. That's in Psalms, I believe. I don't have any handouts this year. It's been a strange year, so I'm not even going to go there.
Can you use the metal mouthpiece with the shofar?
No, you're adding to God's word. Anything you add to this is adding to God's word.
No, I can take a PC pipe and get the same sound that you can get on the shofar.
Sure, so can I. But that's it's not a shofar. Our children are making shofars. They're decorating their own little shofars because I'm going to give them a lesson this afternoon. But it's for them, all this is rehearsal. It's play-like. You know, I know this is, the feast is a rehearsal, but these aren't play-like. These are actual shofars. They were created by God. And so we're not play-liking. Yes, James?
You talk about those who hear it are happy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a neighbor.
Unless they're not real close. Yeah.
I have a neighbor who's somewhat of a believer. Across the fence, when I blow my shofar, as soon as I'm done, yes.
Yes.
Praise God.
Sure.
He is happy.
Yes. When I was learning to play the trombone, nobody in my neighborhood was happy. Especially me. I wasn't real good at the, give me three little buttons to push and I'm good. But yeah, Scripture says you're happy if you hear the sound of the shofar. Paul talks about hearing what is that about uncertain sounds?
He speaks of that over in Corinthians 14.
Yeah, where if you hear uncertain sounds, you're not going to know what to do. And uncertain sound is my husband when he blows the shofar. Somebody run over the cat's tail over here, you know, and you don't know what to do. So that's the same thing as this. If you're doing sounding something that isn't, nobody's going to know what to do. You got to know that the kia means assemble. This is how the folks around the Mishkan in the wilderness, they heard the first tekiya. Reuben, I think, was the first one to go. They hear another tekiya. The other folks with Reuben. So every time they heard a tekiya, everybody knew that they were supposed to do something. And when they played a teruah, when it wasn't a festival day, that meant a battle, a war. Go, defend yourself. So, and if you don't know the tekiya hagadol, you're going to go play golf when Messiah comes back. So it's important you know that to Kia Hagadol. Yes, ma'am.
And what is the sound of that? You've given us a to-do and the nine staccatos. What's the sound of the tekiah?
It's just like a tekiah, except it's drung out as long as you can drag it out. And I can't drag it out very far, so I just do it up at the end. So you know I'm through. Yeah, I'll go through them. Yes, Billy.
We have a little 7-year-old in our group who loves to blow the shofar on the holy days. But he doesn't know all these different
things.
Sure.
So
I wish
you
were here.
He'd
love to learn how to do this.
I
have
an
But he loves to do that. He and
that right. Well, David's pretty good at blowing the shofar, and I think Abigail is too. But not the whole thing. I think last year David helped me, didn't you, David? Yeah. I think he had his daddy's or his grandpa's shofar or something. But, you know, when we're doing this, that's a tekiah.
Oh.
You know, that's what I blow in the mornings to get everybody rallied up and, you know, get your coffee, this is the last time. And so, that's a shivering.
Oh.
That's the one that's not scriptural, but that's the one Satan doesn't know what to do. So I see no reason not to keep it in there. We can keep him confused. That's a teruah. And that's 9 staccatos. And you buzz all right, but you... like you're trying to get something off your lips. So then the tehiyah hagadol... Now that's the one we're all looking for, okay? Let's see, what else? When they went around Jericho, they blew teruah. Now, who was it? I thought Tim was the one who said they shouted. The Hebrew word there is teruah. So they did one long teruah, you know. So let's see. Yeah.
Do you think what you just did, the shivering, do you think that will be the sound when the Messiah comes? Because it said with the sound of the trump, do you think that would be the sound?
No, it's the tekiah hagadol, the very last one.
Which is 2 notes, right?
Well, depending.
Well, I'm looking for specific answers.
Well, I can't give it to you till Messiah comes back, because all we have is what our Jewish brethren have given us.
And speaking of what our Jewish brethren have given us, you opened our services many times, most of the time, with the sound of the shofar.
Mm-hmm, us too.
However, according to certain Jewish sources, they say you do not blow the shofar on the Sabbath.
That is tradition. That is nowhere in Scripture.
That's their tradition.
That's true. Many of us open... who was here Sabbath when we did Sabbath at the Kohler Lodge? Anybody? Yeah. So we opened our service with the shofar.
We do it
at our fellowship at home. And you will hear it on Sabbath at the main session. We won't, probably other than blowing a tekiah to get everybody to shut up and sit down, it won't be blown for the Torah study. Kathy?
Whenever you blow it for Sabbath, which one of these?
I blow all of them.
Oh, do you? Okay.
I call everybody to order, and basically I'm confusing Satan to go away somewhere, and our Sabbath is godly, so that is a victory. So we blow the teruah, and then I blow the tekiah hagadol, thinking, okay, this could be the day, you know.
Okay, so is there a book that we can...
You can go online and get information from there. Throughout the years, that's where I've gotten most of my information, is especially Jewish sites. They have a lot of insights, and a lot of them is got Messiah there, but they don't know he's there. So, yeah, so you can obtain a lot of information from the Jewish sites, or just the Wikipedia or Jewish encyclopedia, or you can go to Christian bookstores. They seem to have a lot of information about the shofar. Especially these days, they're starting to use them in their service, and they're not sure why, but they're starting to use them. It's kind of like our Jewish brethren. They do a lot of things like Passover that they don't understand, So, I mean, but the fact is they're doing them. And so praise y'all that the Christian churches are starting to bring in the shofar. Put out them demons that they're bringing in the front door. Did you have a question?
I think I had a question earlier, but I think either I forgot it or it got answered already.
You're too young for the forgetting part.
What about new moon?
We blow them on new moon. Depends on who you are. We just hear a lot of blowing. If I'm at a new moon, I do the four. Most people don't understand the four, so they just blow, which is fine.
What do you mean when you say four?
Four different times.
1391. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what was the one that confuses Satan?
Shivarim. That's the three critter.
You had mentioned that, I don't know if you're just being humorous, to get rid of the demons that are coming in the door.
No, I wasn't being humorous.
Oh, you weren't? Okay. So if the shofar is blown and there's someone has come into the congregation that has an evil spirit or troubling spirit in some way,
mm-hmm.
will that cause them to get up and go out and leave?
Hopefully it would, but I don't know. But it does come that...
Also.
I'm sorry?
Maybe because...
Contained, yes.
Oh, really?
It's this. At least it's squelched in some.
Squelched. So, well, which one is that that you would do
shivering.
That? Shivering. Okay.
Yeah, the shivering. Yeah. Because see, they don't know what to do with that. Mm-hmm. It's not in scripture. Those they didn't see it in writing. Mm-hmm. You know. So, like I said, it's tradition. But I don't see any reason. You know, tradition is fine as long as it doesn't override the Torah. And tradition is fine as long as you don't make it dogma and that it's a commandment. So, okay. I'm probably going to turn... Oh, I'm sorry.
In regards to that, I just wanted to mention that my daughter had heard, I think it was from Rico, about some sickness that he had and they blew the shofar and then it left, so... I didn't know all the specifics, but she tried to explain to me what she heard. I'm like, well, let's give it a shot. So I had gathered all the kids in for school that morning, and she was starting to feel really sick. There's flu stuff going around and whatever, and I was having problems with my intestines, like constipation and whatnot. And so my younger two can blow the shofar real good, but we blew the shofar over her just from head to toe and prayed, and then they did the same for me, and it was gone.
Yes. That's why this is such a spiritual thing and it shouldn't be used for anything but godly things. But excuse me?
Where's the good source to get one?
The best I know that is basically really reliable is Carl Martin. He used to come to our feast. He used to wear kilts and play the bagpipe, if any of you remember him. But him and his wife, Sandy, live in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And shofarsareus.com, I think.
That's
Yahoo. No.
Oh, it's not?
No. See, they don't add anything to their instruments. And I don't know if he's still doing it. Yahoo cuts off the top and then drills a hole and puts a leather in it and hangs it off. And I understand that's still part of the animal, but the leather isn't. But that's my own personal view of things. All you're getting here is basically my personal view of this.
If it wasn't for the fact there's four beads on it with Yahweh,
yeah.
I would cut mine.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to mention for the women who are looking at getting theirs for the first time, maybe some people have already had experience with this already, but if you have an animal, especially a dog, put it up high. Because we had it on a shelf, particular, and the dog thought it was a bone and chewed it right up.
Ooh.
So if you have an animal, you want to put it up, and it stays safekeeping.
Yeah, there's evidence of this right here. That was my German Shepherd puppy. My lab likes to sing with me when I blow the shofar.
Just
Does this guy that you're referring to, does he treat the for the smell?
He can if you want him to, which means he shellacks inside, which changes the tone just a little. Now this was my first one, and it's polished, but the one I blow predominantly is, the only place it's polished is right up here where my hand is. And I really prefer the natural look, but see, this in here isn't shellacked. I keep mine washed out. You know, you put warm water in it and BBs, little dish soap, and put some kind of ball here. Put your finger here and just junch it around. And then you dump it out and let it dry.
You don't rinse it?
No. You can do the same thing to ram's horns.
What kind of detergent do you use?
Just a little dish soap. Whatever that might be. Dawn, Palmolive, or anything like that.
Are you sure Yakov put shellac in it? Because he told me he added nothing to it. And it seemed to be very important that he, in some way, boiled it out, got all that tissue out of it.
Well, see, you can only boil so much of that stuff out. But it's gotten to where this one doesn't smell anymore.
Yeah.
And I've had this one about 20 years.
Yeah.
Now, my other one I've only had about 10 years. And it used to be if I blew it towards an audience, they'd kind of turn up their nose a little bit. But if you clean them two or three times a year, and you need to do that anyway, because no matter how careful you are, you're going to get spit up here. And then you got bad breath in shofars. So, especially if you use it as often. Now, I use it here a lot, but now at home I only use it once a week when we go to prisons. We're not home much back in the world.
I rinse mine with garlic and
onion. Boy, then they really do this.
That's after I've eaten it.
I see, yeah, there you go. So, who brought their shofars? I know you all did. So, give me a tequila. Those who have their shofars and ram's horns. And now, what did we decide a tequila was? Oh, one more thing I need to tell you. You notice this thing is curved. And you always need to have the bell going up towards Yahweh. We don't want to talk to Him, if that's where He is. But I mean, you know, always up towards Yahweh. Even your ram's horns. You always want to have it up towards Yah. See, that's a tequila. So let's hear a tequila. Go ahead. See, you still tote that thing around. I don't know that you can blow it. And if you can't get two notes, just blow one. It's not a big deal. It just sounds better. That's just the makeup for it. You know, to do is, it just makes it sound better.
How are you doing your mouth on that to make the sound?
You gotta. You see my lips?
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, gosh, I'm wired here. I don't have a pocket.
Put it in your pocket.
Oh, okay. And watch my lips.
All right.
You see how I tightened up my lips?
To get the thing on the end?
Mm-hmm. No, it's not the end. That's the tequila itself.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
So the, awesome. All that air is coming out of that little bitty space.
Yeah. Well, you know.
A lot of the air.
Well, you see, God figured he ought to do something with all this hot air, all right?
But you said you didn't necessarily have to have good lungs.
No, you don't. Let me get rid of this because we're going to be. They don't want all that on the thingy.
Can you do that on the little one too?
Sure. The only one I have trouble doing it on is Gideon's.
Oh, that's a challenge.
Now, this is the one you can get what sounds like a cry, is your show ram's horns. See, it's a whole different sound. It's a whole different use. This is basically for longer distance stuff. Like if they're talking to the mountain over there or the hillside over there or somebody down in the valley. But predominantly this, the ram's horn is what was used to just communicate around the temple.
They use it in the fields too.
Mm-hmm. When it was time to bring the sheep in, or dinner time, or whatever. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know a lot about them, but the first Aaron's occult 7 years ago, there was a man that came down in Monte Judas from California, and he made them.
Yeah, that's Yaakov.
That's when I first heard that when you buy one, you got to know what key, like the key of C, the key of D, or the key of G, for tone-wise of what you want to buy. And I really, really agreed with that after he played that, because I play by ear in the piano, and I thought, I never realized that was there, that the horns could be in different keys.
They can be, but be careful. Don't let every Jake leg in the world.
Well, this is what I'm asking about, because...
Yeah, you... okay, basically, I buy a shofar. Okay, yeah, I want to buy this shofar. Send me the one I need. I have never done anything to my shofars. Nothing.
So, probably the length, the curve of the horn itself probably is what makes the key, the sounds.
Okay, see, this is, it's still a triple twist like my big one I use that's down at the hall. But it's narrower. The bell is narrower. All this is narrower. So it's a higher pitch. Mm-hmm. Now, the one I use at the hall is in the same as Gary's over there.
Okay.
Because when we play, it's the same pitch. I don't believe that's an accident, but see, the ones with the double twist... See, even give a different sound. David, can you make a sound, please? Yeah, see, he's got a pretty good-sized bell on that, even with just those two small twists. And what do you got there, Michael? Oh, yeah, see, he's got a longer double twist. Play it, Michael, please. I'm bossy. You see how much higher pitch that is than David's. Abigail, can you give us what your sound is like, sweetheart? Pucker up like you're trying to kiss Mama. Just easy. Well, see, hers is a higher pitch than David's. But a lot of that is because of she's perching her lips tighter than David is, too. See, I can get a low sound because I'm just... All that is controlling the lips, which I often have trouble doing. Shofars. Yes, except for shofars, yeah. Me and James have discussions all the time about my lips.
You said you don't alter these in any way, but if you do, for example, on the mouthpiece, in order to get a larger opening, you get a, if you happen to get one, it's too small for what you used to.
Yeah. Not, you could probably cut this off one more time and probably be a little bigger than the one that's here. But that's not adding anything to
that
God's word.
I went from trumpet down to a sousaphone. You called it a tuba.
Okay, well, there you go. See, see Dennis, I mean, Kenneth and I are from two different generations, see?
But see, you had to carry yours, whereas I put the sousaphone on my shoulder. If you had a sousaphone, you wouldn't have had so much trouble carrying it around. You
well, I put, I got in that big old thing and that pad right here. And
I carried the tuba too.
Yeah, so,
the
yeah.
The sousaphone was a whole lot more fun.
But everything is controlled with your lips. Let's hear yours.
Jim.
That ought to be easy. Can you give a low one? Yeah. See, that's more like the one I've got here.
I haven't learned to control my lips
either. Yeah. Well, you see, they tell you to blow out the side of your lips. I can't do that.
Who said do that?
That's what our Jewish brethren teach us. But I'm a trumpet player. We didn't blow over here. So I don't have any control of this side or this side. And so I blow in the middle just like I got my trumpet.
Yeah.
Have you ever try to either blow downward or upward or anything to direct your air inside?
Well, you noticed David a while ago, he had it pointed down. But as he raised it up in a different angle, he got a clearer tone.
Right. You have to match your teeth to yeah. some degree to the angle.
Or you take them out or whatever. They told me when I got dentures that they I would never play a trumpet again.
Oh.
Hey, give me a break. Use lots of stick 'em. So just depending on, you have to find your comfort zone. And a lot of times with my other one, I just start blowing and don't get the comfort zone. And so therefore, my comfort zone is where this is in the middle of the mouthpiece, that little thing here on your lips. And that's what gets really tired. By Havdalah last night, I was puckered. Well, you were there last night at Havdalah, weren't you? Oh, well, you should have been because they was a... Yeah, that, those of you who were there heard that little something up there. It happens.
Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, don't worry about it. So, do we have any other questions? Those who do not, hang on, those who do not have a shofar with them or a ram's horn, would you like to try mine? Or even blow the mouthpiece one to see if how you're doing. Now, what you need, babe?
Can you blow two of them at the same time?
Give me a break.
Did you know that there's a guy online?
Yes, there's several people can do that.
He puts it at the side of his mouth.
Well,
he literally blows both of them at the same time. I'm like,
yes. Yeah. I think we're told not to talk out of both sides of our lips. Did that work? How about you? Want to try this?
Not this band,
yes, ma'am. The bigger one.
No, not blow. Vibrate. Okay, take the mouthpiece away. A little close. There you go.
Oh, I got a sound.
There you go. Isn't that exciting? Don't try too hard. Just relax.
And so you just work from that?
Yes.
Wow.
From that, y'all bills. From there.
Great.
See, now you go home and your husband, you're going to go around the house going,
yes, sir.
Yeah, yes, sir. You lost your mind. Yeah, please.
Well, I'm too chauffeur.
I've seen where they drill holes in them before and make two or three holes in them. Change the pitch. You have any experience with that? Is that what's that?
No.
That adding, subtracting?
Well, I just don't believe that's what y'all had in mind. Because you don't need those flute things on there to blow the tones that God wants. So, anybody else like to try the mouthpiece that doesn't own a shofar? I doused it with alcohol, and she don't look too germy. Hey, some of you that are frowning. Hey, being with God's people is fun. Smile.
Yes.
And make people wonder what you're up to. Would anyone like to try a shofar? Sure, come on, dear. Don't worry about it. Everybody watching you. Don't let that be make you nervous.
I have only played a shofar once before. It was several years ago. Okay, I've only blown one.
There you go.
Pretty much once before.
We play trumpets and baritones, and but we blow shofars.
Thank you.
With your tongue.
Spit popcorn balls off your
tongue. Yeah, like you're getting, you know how women's lips get with a little dried stuff and, or you got food or something on it?
Watermelon
seeds. I don't know about that. All right, that's good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ronnie was raised a Baptist, but he got over all that. I was raised a heathen, and I got over all that. But I didn't have too much. Huh?
I was a heathen Baptist.
Well, there's some of those around, too. Somebody else want to try?
Oh, once more.
Oh, once more, baby. You can do it. Anybody in them cornfields, Iowa, can do that. Closer to your lips. Loosen your lips, but put them close.
First, tighten, loosen.
Yes. Well, you know I'm a woman. I can't make up my mind. Yeah. Start with this foot. See, the problem is you're not putting that up against your lip.
Right up against it.
You bet. Yeah.
Are the ducks coming?
No. We've got about 2 minutes. Do we have any further questions?
1391. Each one of those.
That's my phone number. They're all separate.
Would you play the 1391 for us?
Okay. See, that was the 1391.
Do you use all those at one time, or do you like do one for something and then one?
Well, it's like I was saying earlier that when I our service started at 2:00 today. So about 10 minutes till, I will blow 2 tekiahs outside. I will blow 2 tekiahs inside, and this gives establishment. We got 10 minutes till service. That tells you all you need to go get your coffee. Besides that, up on the screen, it says 10 minutes till service. And that's time to quiet down. Get your seat. You know.
Go potty.
Yeah, that too. And then, you know, when Lee and I have coordinated, he will tell me when he's ready, because sometimes there's technical difficulties and I have to wait, but... and then I do the 1391. And then we go right into worship. me and then worship. So, any more questions?
This gentleman, that you said is the best source?
Yeah, Carl Martin.
Can you spell that for me?
M-A-R-T-I-N.
Oh, Martin.
Well, no, they say Martin.
Oh,
A-R-T-I-N.
And it's with a C?
C-A-R-L. Yeah, there's... I'm sorry. It's M-A-R-T-E-N. I'm sorry. I have their phone number here. Anybody wants it?
Yes.
Area code 575-523-0372. Now, their website is www.shofars.us. I don't know if that's us or U.S.
Who's your shofar? What would something like that cost?
Now, this one, 20 years ago, cost me $189. But 10 years ago, through a promotion that Eddie Chumney was doing with Yeshua, 1-800-YESHUA, my big one that I use, I only paid $150 for it. But I've got one that's a side, it's a big ram's horn, and it's the mouthpiece is here. And I gave $85 for that from them at one of the fees. So they vary, and I don't worry about any pitch or key. I tell God I certainly would like a new shofar. Please help me find one. And if I find one, I said, now if this is the one I need, please let him send it to me. And I haven't had a problem with any shofars that I've bought sight unseen. The best way, I'm hoping some year to be able to have shofars here. You know, when Carl and them came, we always had shofars and they were good and whatever. But anyway, call Carl and Sandy up and put in a plug for me. Maybe they'll give me a discount or something.
I've never had this experience, but my heart is jumping out of
it. Yes, ma'am. It's all right.
Do you have a preference between a small and a larger?
Yes, I do. You know, besides, I'm from Texas. Bigger, better, you know.
Goes up higher, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's much more mellow sound.
Yes, you get a much more mellow sound. These are more, I think you put it, or maybe were you the one who was talking about with me about this was an emergency type thing? No, it must have been Sarah. But anyway, we were talking about the ram's horns being more of an emergency thing. It's happening right here, right now. We need to do something.
When we named my second son Ezekiel, which we believe is the horn blower, and he can blow a horn. He's only 4 years old. But when I was praying to the Lord just recently about all the things that we need to be ready, he did say everybody needs a horn.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should have a shofar because we will be using
them. Yeah, David and Abigail got theirs from Saba and Sabta this year for feast gift.
Oh.
So they were excited. And Crystal, you got yours just before Yom Teruah?
Yes, we had gotten a different one.
It was. They called it purple, but
it was. Yeah, my husband didn't like it. We got it off of Amazon, but it shipped from Israel.
Yes.
And it was a little under $200.
Yeah.
But it was harder to blow than this one.
So right. It has to do with the mouth.
The mouthpiece was bigger, and so I couldn't get hardly any sound out of it.
Well, you did better. Just fine at Yom Teruah.
Yeah.
Because you even got two notes out of it. And then she went home and taught her husband how to do it. But, you know, if you find ones that say easy blow, that normally means there's a bigger mouthpiece than this one.
Have you ever had one of those, was that the African deer, that black real thing?
What is that thing called, a yak?
Yeah, I can't remember what it's called.
Ibex or whatever it is. Yeah.
Have you ever
Have you ever had one, or have you ever blown one of those?
Yes. I don't like them.
Yeah, I had one. I didn't.
Carl and them sent one year, I guess while we were in Paris, Tennessee for the feast, and they sent us a bunch of stuff to sell for them, and they had a bunch of those, and I didn't like them.
What about Texas Longhorn?
No. No bovine whatsoever, and that's because, now you think, if one of your kids did something bad, would you want them reminding you all the time of what they did?
Yeah.
No. Well, he doesn't want to be reminded about the golden calf. So if you use a bovine, you're reminding our Father that, hey, we screwed up and we're going to put it in your face. I know y'all got to get to lunch and we're through. I hope you've gotten something out of the class.
Yes.
And I will be here, of course, the rest of the time. If you see me, you got a question, ask.